Francesca present Seven Matrimony.
Hello and welcome to Cinematrimony. I'm Matt. Francesca's with me. We haven't done one of these in a while, but
we had a whole bunch of them.
They'll be available by the time you hear this. But anyways, we're talking about Noah today from Darren Aronofsky. He who directed one of the film that inspired perhaps the most infamous episode of Cinematrimony.
Yeah.
At least amongst the other film nerds. But we saw this separately in the last couple of days. And I've been interested in it for a while. I think I get the impression that I was a lot more excited about seeing it than you were.
You are correct.
But I am... Having been stewing on it for a couple of days, I'm curious as to what your general reaction to this is. So I want to start with that. I just want to hear from you.
Well, I don't like Darren Aronofsky is what I officially discovered. It was some weird Ace movie, Matt.
I really like that phrasing. But go. So immediately when I saw it, one of the things I thought is Francesca...
I have to make her see this, even though I know she won't like it.
No, I thought there was a pretty good chance you might like it, but...
I mean, it was okay, as a filmmaker, he's officially, like, zero for...
See, I don't really think it's that weird, but I think here's the thing that I think was going to be the big tripwire that I thought. She'll either just buy this and move on with it, or she will make this the thing that she doesn't like about the movie. It's the Watchers, yes.
No, I mean... What I don't like about the movie is it was just so weird. He just, like, took...
Like, I'm
going to be honest, like, maybe I am not as well-versed in Genesis?
The Watchers are not in the Bible. That is, like...
Okay. Well, so that's
is
a pretty
sort of
weird... But here's the
quasi-biblical
thing.
Lore.
Here's kind of the thing that I don't get exactly, is that, like... It seems like he decided to make a movie based on, like, the fringest parts of the story and, like, focus on that. As, like, you know, the Bible, like, the story everybody's familiar with, like, makes a big deal about all the animals coming, and that was sort of, like, a footnote on this. Like, it was not a major plot point.
But if
they were
made...
collecting the animals, it was just like, here they come, right on, but, lizards, thanks for being here today. Awesome. Blossom.
But what did you want to see? Did you want to see the whole movie of just
no,
like...
No, but here's my point.
Wait, damn it, now we need a female ocelot.
Here's my point, though, is that they, like... He spent a lot of time focused on, like, the... Are there going to be more people or not? Like...
Yeah.
But, like, I think that was pretty much a fabrication of his brain. That, like, that was going to be the focus of the story.
You mean,
like,
Noah trying
Noah's
to decide whether to
just let them all die out.
Right. But that... See, here's the thing with that.
And Methuselah being a magical berry-eating old man. I don't think that's a thing.
Well, I don't think he's anything
he,
in the Bible.
He, like, touches her belly and then she's like, gotta have sex. No! Stat! Gotta get it done!
But I think Methuselah in the Bible is just basically somebody who is in a long line of people that begat other people. I don't think he's anything.
Well, I think he is supposed to be old. Isn't that the thing? Like, older than Methuselah?
Is it?
I mean, I think that's a thing.
I don't know.
Oh, boy.
I thought Methuselah was another name for the devil, to be honest.
No, you're thinking of Beelzebub?
Well, I know that's one too, but I don't know.
No, Methuselah. No, that's a thing.
That's okay,
older than Methuselah.
Well, I actually really liked that character. See, here's the thing: we've done this before. I feel like this is another version of the Harry Potter conversation where you are criticizing this movie for not being its source material, and I'm saying it's just a movie.
It's the Bible, like.
But
it's
not the Bible.
Like,
this
also,
is a movie.
Here's the thing that I couldn't get past, and this isn't his fault necessarily. But because he focused so much on whether, like, the line was going to continue, it sort of was creepily, like, not focused on incest. But, like, that's basically because he was focused so hard on that, it was hard not to go like, so the way this ends is either she has sex with all the brothers, or the brothers have sex with their nieces.
Well, listen.
But, like, because he was focusing so much on that, like, even though that was never, like, brought up, like, that's all I could think about basically the whole time was like, ah.
I mean, I have to say that was probably a good decision, though, because that is ultimately, that is ultimately how it would have had to have gone down in that scenario.
Like, that's the main arc that ultimately he's focused on is, like, that these people have to repopulate the world. And so in focusing on that, like, that's what I left with, was just going, like, either they all have sex with their brother's wife, or, and then the kids have to have sex with each other.
No, they don't. Well, no, they...
I'm saying, they would all, it would either have to be that they're all sleeping with his wife, and then all of the children who are, like, half-siblings...
I'm sure they'll work the math out, but I don't think they wanted you to think very much about that.
But then he shouldn't have made that the point of the movie, which he did.
No, I don't think that was the point of the movie.
I'm saying that's like the main driving narrative thing once they're in the water.
Is who's going to have sex with who? They don't even have that conversation.
No, but I'm saying they don't talk about that, but they're talking about,
I know, because
are we going to repopulate the world or not?
Right.
Well, if it's a man, like, that was the whole thing.
I didn't think about it, to be honest.
Well, good for you.
But I would say that this movie probably had a more thoughtful approach to it than the biblical story does, because the biblical story, I mean, it happens in both versions of the story.
But again, like, I mean, the whole point of, like, Noah's, like, he kind of made him into a little bit of a crackpot. Like,
yes, he did. But that's important, I think.
He was, like, making these decisions.
Yeah, there's no question that Noah is crazy at the end of the movie.
That he, like, you know, with all this stuff leading up to the flood, you know, you see, like, dream sequences of, like, okay, I saw my grandfather, I saw the mountain. Like, that event sort of on the back end, you understand, okay, these are what all these things meant to him when he saw them. But, like, the whole thing about I have to kill the baby, that was all, like, that was all arbitrary because you didn't get a dream sequence where he was getting that message,
well,
so
here's,
to speak.
Here's what I don't think it was arbitrary. I think what's going on there is basically once the flood happens, it becomes kind of a different movie because Noah undergoes a really intense psychological, emotional change from that. He's super, super disturbed by what went down. And I think that is affecting him. And I think basically what we're supposed to, at least what it seemed like to me for the rest of the movie, is Noah is a dude who is being affected by a lot of things like survivor guilt. And I mean, he sort of feels like conflicted over whether he could have or should have saved anybody else, and because everybody died and because him making decisions was a part of that, he feels like the human race should just end. And so he's sort of like, I think he is supposed to be sort of part of the point of that second bit of the movie is that Noah is really messed up by what happened.
Well, but here's the thing.
And I think that's a totally valid thing to have written.
But the point is, Noah is supposed to be, like, a good guy, and that's why he and his family are being spared. And so by having him abandon a girl in a bear trap so she could be trampled to death by vile people, like, they made him... I feel like Aronofsky made choices to not just make him conflicted, but to make him an actively bad guy.
I don't think he did anything that's bad, wholeheartedly.
Are you kidding me? That was pretty bad.
I don't think so.
That a girl was stuck in a
he's
trap,
trying
clearly
to,
like, not being a horrible person,
but
and he still left her there.
He's trying to follow orders from God, you know, and he doesn't really know exactly what to do, and I think that's what's interesting about it, too. I think he's a very human character.
That said, though, again, he's supposed to have been spared because he was a really good guy.
Right.
And the whole thing with the way he reacts to his daughter, his adoptive daughter, who he purportedly loves and should be happy with the, you know, mating of his daughter or his son and her, you know, when he finds out she's pregnant, his immediate reaction is like, we're going to kill that baby.
Because everything that's going on at that point is being seen through this lens where he's very disturbed and he doesn't know what to think anymore. He's being set upon, like, he's not thinking with the same head that he was thinking with at the beginning part of the movie, because he just witnessed everyone in the entire world die. He was on the outside of the boat when it happened, unlike everybody else.
Okay. I get your point. I'm just saying, that's, to me, he took too many liberties that made him too bad of a guy for a guy who's supposed to be spared because of his goodness. I think that was...
I don't think you're giving... here's the thing. I don't think that you're giving enough sympathy to the person who witnessed everyone in the world die.
I feel bad for Noah. I'm saying I'm not having any umbrage. I'm not taking umbrage at Noah. My issue is with the filmmaker who decided to make him a pretty awful and, you know, not...
Well...
sympathetic dude.
It's fair for
one thing for him to be... brooding and to be upset, and that's understandable. And the whole family, by the way, is upset.
Yes.
But they don't all go crazy and, like, you know, I mean, he's pretty much bloodthirsty.
He's really messed up about it. Think about how long his hair is pregnant.
She's pregnant for 9 months. So 9 months he stays that angry and that unwavering. Like,
no,
that's
he's
a pretty crazy dude.
I think there's enough scenes that show that he's really torn up about it and
except
does not want to do it.
Except for not when his wife is like, dude, you cannot do this, and I will leave you, and we will all leave you, and you will lose all of us. He's still like, oh, well. Again, my point is...
I get that listen, I'm not going to sit here and say that I don't think it's... that Aronofsky made it challenging to still be sympathetic for Noah, but I think that he gave plenty of good reasoning and setup to explain his actions. They're not incomprehensible to me.
I don't think there was enough setup for that. Because, again, if he's a guy who's been acting on, you know, visions given to him by God, and then you get no inkling of one such vision...
Because he didn't get any more after
right,
that.
Right. So what I'm saying, if that's what's been causing his actions all this time, and then... now he's so... because it was just the way it was written that, like, he was so sure that he had to kill them. But, like, if the, you know, precedent before has been he gets a vision and that's why he feels sure. And this time there was no vision, but he still feels sure that he has to commit murder. Infanticide. Mm-hmm. That'll teach me to try to use big words.
Listen...
my point is, that makes it not sympathetic. If he had had some sort of a vision and he felt that way... but, like, why was he so committed to this if he hadn't had some kind of a vision?
Well, A, in part because he's not thinking with a clear head anymore because of what happened to him. And B, because he gives his reasoning, which is basically that he thinks that God must want them all to die out because of how things played out.
Okay, here's the other big problem with that. If God wanted them all to die out, then why would he put a child in her womb? That's my point. If, like, okay, so he thinks that because, well, she's barren and we don't have any women, so we're supposed to die out. She gets pregnant. Wouldn't you maybe take that as, like, the sign, oh, he spared my whole family and she's pregnant because he doesn't want it? Like, it doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense why he would still persist in that belief when he finds out she's pregnant. The whole reason he had that belief was because no one on board the ship could have children.
I'm not saying he obviously is not. He's not supposed to be right.
He didn't have a moment going wavering and going like, oh, well, if she is pregnant, then okay, then maybe we are supposed to keep on.
I mean, we're going to keep going in a circle with it. But basically, the answer to all of these is in part because he's insane once the flood happens. But again.
That's not true either. Like,
why is it not true? What do you mean?
There was no clear delineation of, like, he went bonkers. Like, he gets upset, but it's not. But there is still rational thought happening. But this one big thing doesn't make sense, that he would just ignore the fact that clearly the sign is there that they're supposed to repopulate because she's pregnant when she wasn't before.
I saw a pretty clear delineation, but... moving away from that point, since we've hashed it out pretty good. So you really, really don't like the Watchers, or
No, that was just, I mean...
I actually really liked that element of it.
Like, if you're trying to make this like a swords and sandals thing, then why did you just put Transformers in the middle of it? Like, it doesn't make sense.
So you didn't like the look of the characters,
the
design of them?
No, actually, I liked the look of it because it reminded me of that stop-motion animation.
It was jerky looking, yeah. I thought that was cool.
It looks like the guy from Clash of the Titans, a little owl.
And I really like their backstory, too. I like how they came to be there.
Yeah, but then ultimately, like... Other than that, they made the Ark.
Yeah, because otherwise, how's Noah going to build the Ark? I really like this. I like the whole thing. This particular twist on it is what I really like the most. I like that he made it so that like the descendants of Cain had become this sort of modern, very, very recognizably modern industrial society that sort of like has destroyed the Earth. And, you know, because basically, and it's implied they've destroyed the Earth because they're mad at God. And they're basically saying, like, we're so pissed at you that you've made us have to do all of this work now that we're not going to show any regard for your creation anymore. And so it's kind of becomes this sort of slightly environmentalist parable, but not exactly, because
Noah and his family were like,
yeah, they didn't eat meat,
vegetarians, but not super militant.
But so. I have to say, it didn't come off as anywhere close to as obnoxious as what was going on in Avatar. Like, it worked for me in this movie because of the way it was all set up. But then, so there's like this industrialist thing happening, which obviously doesn't make any sense for the time period of it, but. Again, that I guess the fact that they did that took me out of worrying about whether it lined up with the Bible at all or not so quickly that I was open to whatever was going to happen the rest
of
the movie.
Well, but again, I mean,
they have machines and stuff.
If you're going to make something where there's like magical snake skins and I mean just call it something else. Like why are you it was such a I mean, again, because the animals are almost such a footnote in it. It's like
I don't understand why you really wanted to see more of the animals being collected.
No, I'm just saying. My point is, the way he told the story was to focus on these very minor parts of the story. And, like, it's just not... Don't call it Noah. I don't know. Just do something else. Because I felt bad because there were, like, people with kids that came to see it.
Well, shame on them, then. There's a rating on the movie. They shouldn't have brought kids to a movie that was rated that. I'm just saying. I'm so confused by people being, like... not being able to understand that a movie is its own separate thing and it's not like the movie version of something.
Like, well, except for you called it Noah. Like, call it something else then. Like, you know.
But why can't somebody write an original story that is based on something else?
Because people bring their kids to it. I mean, again, the Bible isn't Darren Aronofsky's responsibility. The Bible isn't Harry Potter, you know? Like, it is something that, you know, I don't know, would people be...
I mean, were there people that brought their kids to the Passion of the Christ?
Yeah.
If they were, then shame on them. And that's not Mel Gibson's problem or responsibility to deal with.
Ultimately, it was just a weird, kind of strangely focused movie. Like, it was a little all over the place.
It really worked
for me. The rock angel things were... It was just a weird sci-fi amount. Like, look, I don't think I'm... I mean... Forget about Noah. I'm just saying it was a weird movie.
For what it is, yes.
It was a strange movie that seemed unfocused to me. Like, there were elements of it that were, you know, fine, but it was just, like, swords and sandals, but, like, sci-fi, family drama. Like, it was just a hodgepodge that didn't work for me. I don't, you know, again, taking Noah out of it.
The Ray Winstone character.
So many people getting killed by axe. I could have done without that. Thank you.
Who gets killed with an axe?
Like 20 people get their heads chopped.
Do they?
Yes.
I actually thought that the sword violence is extremely not violent in this movie. Like, there's almost no, like, people getting... I would say that this movie, where everyone in the
entire... You loved it. So you really liked it.
I really liked it a lot.
You really liked this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you thought the story was a strong story.
I was so interested all the way through in this movie. And I really, really liked the like, especially this, the part that involves the, like, tribe of people led by Ray Winstone, which that is the one that is definitely, like, there's nothing in the Bible about that whatsoever. That is completely made up for the movie. That really worked for me a lot, and I actually liked that character a lot. I thought that was a great villain.
Oh, yeah. Oh, by the way, speaking of
sneaks on the boat.
Yeah, there's just a little stowaway, guys.
I will say this.
A tiny stowaway in the ark.
That's the bullshitness part of the movie of all.
That's there, again, for 9 months and nobody notices.
Well, he's badly injured.
I'm saying, though, like, even if he didn't move, like, nobody went by the lizard area ever.
I think that
a man in there.
Of all things, yeah, I know. Listen, one of the least believable parts is that no one finds him because it's not that big of a boat.
I mean, it's big, but it was 9 months. You think they haven't done some exploring?
But
that little shrimp of a brother, right. didn't check things out every once in a while.
That
scamper
now,
away.
Ben Flanagan brought this up to me that. This is probably the biggest weakness, I think, in the screenplay, is that the middle brother, like, they really just sort of don't bother to resolve his storyline. Like, there's no resolution for him at all. To the point where they kind of get to the end of the movie and they're like, what are we going to do with him? Well, I guess just tell him to walk away.
Well, yeah.
He doesn't do anything.
I'll tell you
what
was a bigger problem for me. Was that the first part of the movie, when all the kids, Noah and his children are young, that I spent a great part, probably like the first 15 minutes, thinking that the oldest son was a girl, and that was going to be Emma Watson's character, because he was a gorgeous little boy with beautiful hair and face, and I was really like, oh, okay, she's just like his oldest daughter.
The oldest son is a very strange-looking actor, isn't he?
Well, he's just like he's
for
got,
someone
like,
to supposedly be Russell Crowe and Jennifer Connelly's son. He's
got
not
model
that
face.
Great looking.
Well, no, he looks like a male model. Which
a mutt?
Is to be no a male model that he sort of looks like a girl. But no, but the child actor really looked like a girl, and I did not know that was a boy.
Yeah.
Again, because I didn't know that Emma Watson was like a little foundling or whatever, I spent a long time thinking like, okay, so the oldest one is Emma Watson's character, and then, then the other one is Logan Lerman.
Wait, whatever. How long did it take you to figure this out?
Like, until they found the girl, pretty much. No, I think before that. I think at one point he said, like, son, and I was like, what?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
That's supposed to be a boy? Again, I'm sorry, actor. You're lovely, but like... That was a really, which again, then seeing the adult version, I sort of get it because that was a sort of, he was like sort of a feminine look, like had feminine
right.
features. But like, children, sometimes that can get tricky. And that one really looked like a girl. Really.
What
too
did you,
beautiful
what did
for
you
me
think,
to believe as a boy.
What did you think about when they get back on the boat and they're like all sitting around the fire or whatever and they do the creation story?
That was, you know. I mean, neat
that's in fast
animation.
Forward, sort of.
But a neat sequence does not a movie make, sir.
I'm just asking you about individual things now, yes, since it's clear what
neat.
You think about the movie. So that was cool for you. You didn't like.
I mean, it was fine. It wasn't like I was bored, but just on a whole, it was just all over the place. It didn't make. It just didn't. It wasn't cohesive to me.
There's a couple of things that didn't.
And then he's getting drunge once again.
Well, wouldn't you?
That's, just naked,
again,
laid out.
That's drunk-y. What I'm saying. That to me, that is a part that he's editorializing, and I feel like with reason, because what he's sort of saying is that I think everybody thinks about the Noah story, and it's like, oh, gets on the boat, everything's cool, land, everything's great again, rainbow. But really, it's like he gets in the boat, he watches. Everyone in the entire world die, and then he is like left alone in the abyss of new creation. And so he's depressed, and he gets drunk, and he doesn't know how to deal with it.
Here's the other thing, though. He needed to pick a side, because once again, yes, Noah sees everybody destroyed, and that is intense. I get it. But he also gave Noah a scene where he saw that they were being awful. Like,
right.
he had Noah walk through and... like, as if to confirm, yep, these are horrible, horrible people doing horrible things and fighting and ripping animals
and
apart.
In that scene also is supposed to be where he goes, oh, it could just as easily have been me. And that's part of where he ends up later saying, we're no better than them. Like, we should all die out because we're just as terrible.
But they're not. That's the point. They're not ripping animals apart with their bare hands and, like, selling women
yes,
and
but
children.
He let, but they let other people die because they were trying to take care of themselves. That's sort of Noah's point. And she makes the counter argument, which doesn't get through to him right away, that, you know, you're doing things out of love, and that's the difference. And that's why you should count yourself different and why you deserve to give your family and the human race another chance. And he's conflicted about it, as I think anybody put in that position probably would be.
I'm saying, I understand why Noah acted the way he did in the screenplay he did, except for, I'm saying Darinofsky. I mean,
that's fine. Go with that.
We're just going to have to call him that because that's an annoying name, sir.
Darren
Again,
Aaron.
It should have been more clear one way or the other because his ambiguity made it then not make sense some of the way that Noah acted. Like, it just didn't work. It, like, you know, show somebody being kind then before they all get obliterated. So then it makes sense that he feels bad.
Well, I think that example somebody is kind the girl. It's the girl that got killed in the bear trap. That's the one that made him feel the most conflicted of all. That combined with, so that
except
he saw
that
like.
He could have helped her.
Yes.
But I'm saying, like, he made the choice. It wasn't like, oh, no, I have to leave her behind. It
yeah,
was like, I am leaving her behind.
He feels super bad about it, too. And
I don't think he does,
he does. He apologizes for it later.
Hmm.
Remember?
Nope.
He does apologize for it.
All right, fine. Why are you yelling at me? Stop.
Anyways. So.
I'm just saying, like, I feel like the screenplay was muddled in terms of, because, again, it made him seem, I didn't get that there was a good reason for him to be that cruel to his family and, like, be willing to lose all of them on this principle that didn't come to him the way his other principles had come to him via a vision from God.
The only counter argument I have, and maybe it's not a good argument, but the only counter argument I have is that he was crazy, essentially. But, and I listen, I also think I probably can't really argue against saying that it's a little bit of a mess all over the place of a screenplay. But I also kind of like it for that. I like that it's so different and has all these things that are totally original and that I wasn't expecting in it. And, you know, I honestly, like, you know, it felt like sort of like watching a Lord of the Rings kind of movie,
wow.
except that it was... It's not based on, it's only very loosely based on something else.
Yeah, but if you're going to make a Lord of the Rings movie, then just make a Lord of the Rings movie.
Why do you keep wanting to pigeonhole it?
Because it's too...
Why can't somebody just make up something?
Because it's too out there. Like, either focus on, like, if you're going to make the Rock Angels a thing, then, like, make them a thing. Don't just, like, drop them in there super cash.
You
like,
mean,
whatever.
Make, like...
Rock Angels.
What do you mean? What should he have done differently
I'm
with
just
the
saying,
Rock
like,
Angels?
Either... Like, don't... They. If you're going to make them a big focus of your thing, you know, don't make it a throwaway backstory and then halfway through the movie be like, and they're out of here.
But they did that. They served their purpose, and so they get to go to heaven.
But, like, one of them made a super big boom. Why?
No, they all blew up.
He had a scar on his face, so he was vaguely more...
Oh, you mean one of them...
Why do we have six
exploded
hands?
...exploded bigger than the other?
Yeah. He was, like, the turbo. Like, if you're gonna...
Turbo.
Like, if you're gonna do stuff like that, then, like, explain yourself. You can't just be like, this one's super big explosion.
I have to say, I experienced
also,
that...
Also, they're angels, but they can be stabbed? What? That doesn't make sense.
Listen, everything that you're experiencing that is coming out as frustration was like, for me watching
it, yak back
I was going like,
yeah, man, cool, get
okay.
a pizza.
I was like, okay, Rock Angels, all right. And then one of them would get stabbed and explode. And I'd be
and
like, okay, awesome, they get stabbed and explode. And then they go to heaven.
And then one walked out of the room and was like, see you guys later.
No, the worst, the most Yak Back Matt moment in the movie is when the kid is, like, running through his legs at the tent, and he's like, oh, you can't catch me.
Oh, jeez. that rock angels.
That kid is going to sire the rest of humanity after that.
To be fair, I think a lot of my anger towards the rock angels was based on the fact that I had to watch that Transformers shite.
Oh, so you were influenced by the Transformers trailer.
Yes. Which, despite the...
Leave my family alone, giant robots!
That's my gorgeous baby girl! Don't touch her! No, the Transformer... Listen.
You made him like an old Chinese man for a second.
He made himself like that. Listen. The preponderance of American flags had the opposite effect that perhaps Marky Wahlberg was trying to have on me, which is that it made me want to punch Americans in the head. Enough. 8 of them. I counted 8 flags, Matt. 8 shots with flags in them on the Transformers movie. That makes me hate Americans. It doesn't make me love them. It makes me hate them.
I'm really proud that we've never done a Cinematrimony on a Transformers movie and never will.
Saw that first one and I almost divorced you.
What? I believe that we walked out of that theater and I said, I said, this family will never spend another dollar on a Michael Bay Transformers movie.
Okay, you said this family, Don, Leon. I don't think you decide where my money goes, palsy.
I'm pretty sure that I declared walking out of that movie definitively. No more.
Maybe you
no
declared
more
it because I couldn't speak for throwing up.
No more Scalise.
But it's not like you made that
to
decision.
A Transformers movie.
Oh, please, Matt. I really want to go. No.
Yeah.
I think that...
It was the worst.
We're living in Tuscaloosa. There's probably someone with, like, breastfeeding a baby next to us and eating chicken wings. Oh, jeez.
don't lump all of Tuscaloosa in.
No, I'm lumping the experiences we had in that theater.
Yeah. I'll never forget when we went to see 310 to Yuma and there was a baby in 310 to Yuma.
And there was a dog in a Harry Potter movie barking. Yeah, somebody snuck in a dog. And there was also, of course, the genesis of what's that movie called? Bad Robot?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
From Cloverfield.
Yeah. Someone thought that Cloverfield was called Bad Robot.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. But you can't get mozzarella cheese sticks, so...
And an entire pizza. Tuscaloosa movie theater.
It's okay.
What is it called? The Hollywood?
I don't know. We love lots of people in Tuscaloosa, but I had bad movie-going experiences there.
Yep.
Bad ones.
All right, well, we did a solid half hour on Noah, so I'm proud of that one.
Well,
I think
maybe you'll actually put it out instead of like the 25 we did.
I have to
Christmas
say, I think this one, this is, I did not, I actually thought that this was going to be kind of a run of the mill one. I'm like, oh, well, won't live up to the Black Swan podcast. This is fully, I think this one will go down in the ranks with the Black Swan podcast.
No.
I think it will.
I think you forgot that no one listens to these.
They do.
That's the first thing
you
forgot.
Film nerds listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
So. Anyway, thanks for podcasting.
Yeah.